This portion of the show is brought to you by Ms. Kitty Steakhouse in Williams.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome. Jeff Horovitz here. Hey, Mark. Mark Cowitz here as well. I shouldn't have watched that last night. I didn't sleep very good. You know, yes, there was 9/11, September 11th.
September 11th.
And so I was watching one documentary on the whole, you know, build up to 9/11 and the towers and the Pentagon and then the Afghan war. And just like, I shouldn't have watched that before bed. You know, it brought back a flood of memories,
right?
Remembering all that and all the you know, mistakes that were made afterwards and where it's taken our country since then.
Right.
So big mistake, but
you know, a different
9/11. It's good to remember them.
I actually finally got myself in gear, found a online retailer that sells Made in America flags, ordered myself a new American flag, a new Arizona flag, and I also ordered an Israeli flag. Those three. So I have an American flag now, but it's made
in China.
No, it's not. It's made in America, but the problem is it's been seen a lot of days outdoors.
Yeah.
You know, it's an all-weather flag, but eventually the sunshine up here at high elevation fades it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
it looks like it's gone through like the Civil War.
Right.
Yeah. And, yeah, like in a year.
At that point, you're supposed to retire them. So, you know, ordered a new one. And
yeah, you did a whole thing on the show here about the way to retire flags.
Yeah. How to retire flags.
Maybe I'll dig that up and put it in the podcast. I don't know how easy that would be for me to find.
Yeah. And this year, I finally got my flag light up so it could be a 24 hour flag. If it's up at night, you've got to have a light on it.
And that's easy now. You buy one of those cheap Home Depot
solar thing, a little LED thing or something.
15 bucks now, 10 bucks or something like that. Good for the environment, made of all plastic.
Sure.
Yeah. We'll go with that. Comes from the sun. All right. So, as you know now, the Congress is supposedly moving forward on impeaching President Joe Biden.
Okay, so first of all, this is going nowhere, but
but let's spend at least, I got 10 to 11 minutes slated here on my notes, so we'll do that at least. They'll spend a lot more time on it. Well, look, the guy should be impeached. I mean, I think there's tons of corruption there.
There is.
Are they going to find it, though? Are they going to make the connection between Hunter and him? Biden's been doing this for 50 years. He's pretty wise on how to game that system. Maybe he got arrogant, though. Maybe, you know, in his later years is forgetting things and made mistakes. Maybe they'll find that.
Maybe. You know,
see.
Obviously, the House of Representatives is the one that brings impeachment. The Senate tries the impeachment. It's not going to get through the Senate because Kamala Harris and the Democrats are all going to vote no, obviously, unless you get a surprise switchover.
Yeah, well, if it was the other way around, they would vote. If there was like, if they needed like two Republicans, if the Democrats were doing this to Trump, for example,
right,
they would find two Republicans to flip, but they won't find two Democrats.
They'll find a Mitch Romney and a
Mitt Romney, or you know, maybe they'll. It would have to be really compelling. Maybe they'll find something. So what happened was McCarthy, Speaker McCarthy, he's getting a tremendous amount of pressure, especially from the Freedom Caucus and the more right wing of the Republicans.
Yep.
We will have one of the members of the Freedom Caucus on Thursday. I think we got Congressman Andy Biggs scheduled.
Excellent.
You know, he was not a big fan, neither was Eli Crane or Gosar, of McCarthy becoming speaker.
Right.
And they had to make all kinds of concessions. Hard. Remember that?
Yep.
So they've been putting a tremendous amount of pressure because we have a September 30th potential shutdown coming because of the budget. There's some Republicans that say,
every time I hear shutdown, I get excited.
I do. I'm like, great, this is finally going to happen. We're finally going to shut this thing down for a while.
Yeah.
Hopefully months. I mean, I would be happy if all of them went away for at least a year.
Yeah.
Just, okay, we've got every law in place. We've got everything. We've got the continuing resolution on it because they never do a budget anymore. We're all just going to go home. And the world's going to be just fine. It'll probably be better off in 1 year if they would just do that. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm like, shut it down.
Essential government services stay open. The military stays open. Yeah. All the important, the IRS going to stay open. Very nice. They're still going to take your tax.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of that non-essential stuff closes down. The only bad thing about these shutdowns is they always give the back pay.
Yeah, it's a vacation.
To the employees. It's a paid vacation. It is absolutely ridiculous. It should either come out of their vacation time or just don't pay them. Say, hey, tough luck. You chose a job with the government.
Yeah. It shuts down sometimes. It should be in their contract.
And you can go back to the private sector, get yourself a job,
You were going to say real job. You can say real job because most of these are not, most of these, a lot of the, okay, I'm not going to say most of them, but probably most of them. Most of these positions are not doing anything for the productive capacity of this country. They're just sucking it dry is all they're doing. So, they're useless jobs. And so why don't we just get rid of them for a while and see how we're doing? I think we'll find that we don't need them. I think we find out real quick that it's okay. We're good. We have a thing in Arizona. So if there is a shutdown, a couple of years ago, the legislature passed, they would fund, I think, to keep the national parks open. Didn't they do something like that?
The state did.
Yeah, and they're supposed to get reimbursed later or whatever, because that's a big thing. Okay, all of a sudden,
you're tourism for the state of Arizona.
And you had a plan to go to the national parks.
Well, yeah, and that, you know, sometimes they shut down really dumb things in Arizona. And we had a budget crisis out here where they shut down things for a while. I forget what year that was.
Yeah,
but,
I can't remember.
You know, you don't shut down the stuff that generates revenue. You know, you don't shut down the stuff that brings in tourists. That's just dumb.
Well, they do that first so they can make a big sink about it and make it see how important it is to have this big central government. Look how bad things are now.
You need to shut down.
You can't go to
like
the Grand Canyon.
The Department of Education and parts of the EPA and, you know, things like that that we could just do without.
No, I agree 100%. But so that's the background of this. So he was getting tremendous pressure, and he has a very tenuous grip on being speaker. They've made it that one person, I believe, is what Biggs was telling us when he came on a couple months ago to talk about McCarthy's speakership, that one person can bring forward removal and replacement and then bring up, hey, we're going to vote this guy up or down at this point. So, you know, there's a lot of leverage that these people can use now, especially the Freedom Caucus. So looming budget or government shutdown over the budget set for September 30th, this showdown, and what folks like in the Freedom Caucus, which what is there, maybe 30 of them or something? There's maybe 30 members of Congress that are actually worth it. At this point, you know, and it's not
about the country. Yeah, yeah, they want to do the right thing.
They understand that we're spending ourselves into oblivion and all that.
Yep.
They're basically saying we need to cut spending. Now, the sad thing is they might cut spending, but cut it from what? We're at a 6 point. I believe it's hard to tell anymore. I gotta be honest with you. I can't find consistent numbers. It's over $6 trillion. But it changes all the time. I think it's approaching $7 trillion for actual government spending this year. If you go to like debtclock.org, it tracks that.
Yep.
So what are we talking about here? We're going to take spending from, even if we call it $6 trillion, and bring it to 5.5. It was at 4.2 in 2019. Mm-hmm. So even if they get it, it's so hopeless. I hate to be like that, but D.C. is hopeless.
It's kind of slowing the car ride to the cliff, right? So it's Thelma and Louise headed for the Grand Canyon, and it's just slowing it down. Instead of doing 55 for the edge, we're doing 54.
But you're still flying off the Grand Canyon.
That's exactly. I mean, if you reduce the deficit by $100,000 or $200,000
or $100 billion or something,
or even $100 billion, right?
Yeah. Let's say we stop funding.
You won't get that far. You won't get to $100 billion. Yeah, of savings.
You might even get, well, I disagree. You could get to something where they're like, oh, we're cutting it by $500 billion. But that's like a store raising the price of milk. You know, one night it was, what's milk cost? I don't shop much.
You sound like one of those politicians.
Yeah.
Don't even know what a gallon of milk costs.
I just know Angela complains about it a lot.
Well, we buy the organic stuff, which is that's not $8 a gallon. It's like three quarters of a gallon.
Better off tying a cow up in the backyard.
I know.
So anyway, okay, let's say, you know, it's $5 a gallon.
Let's say it's
$5. And they raise it to 10, and then they say, oh, we're reducing the price. We have a sale tomorrow at 7. Right. I mean, what's the big deal? I'm trying to think of some other analogies with D.C. And I hate to be negative, but it seems so hopeless with these until there's a massive change.
Yep.
Let me try this. This probably won't come out right, but is...
it's not going
to
come out right.
No. Go ahead. If I have to think this hard, okay. Is whorehouse an appropriate word?
I don't think so. I don't think it quite describes it. It's part of the description, but I don't think that's quite it.
Okay. But let's just say you sent someone to that, you know,
House of Ill Repute.
House of Ill Repute, right? And you sent someone new in, and you're like, I'm going to get new people. We're getting new management. We're going to make this place more moral.
Right.
I hate that. I'm sorry, folks. But it's just, I don't know how else to explain it. It's like we're sending some people into a meat grinder.
Yeah.
And I just can't put the words on it. So you're trying to fix something that's so utterly corrupt. Well, I talk about
draining the swamp, but you're...
I don't know if my example came out good, but...
just close the swamp. Really, you're not going to fix the budget issues in D.C. until you get a law passed, like we have in Arizona, where you can only have one item per bill, basically. Whatever bill gets passed in Arizona, everything in it has to be germane to the title of the bill.
Yeah.
Right? So if it's a bill about state parks, you can only have stuff in there about state parks. At the federal government level, I mean, we're going to talk about this thing where they have Inflation Reduction Act, right? And there, in the Inflation Reduction Act, they decided to spend over $250,000 to get rid
of the humpback chub.
No, try to save the humpback chub by getting rid of bass.
Yeah, in the Colorado River.
In the Colorado River. Yeah. So part of the way we're reducing inflation is getting rid of bass, fish.
Yeah.
Can you put this together for me?
Spend money.
How is this saving us inflation? Yeah,
spend money to... Because it's not. Inflation Reduction Act was a Green New Deal pork barrel.
Yes,
that's why I'm saying that we're sending them in, and I won't use the same description. We're sending them into the house of irrepute there.
Well, you've got to try to make it better,
and you can't.
You can't
make it better.
435 people that all want to add a little bit of pork to every single bill
because their spending is better than the other person's.
Yeah.
It's like, no, not my thing. So that's why I'm so, you know, I've been around this for a long time now, everyone. And there's some young people like, yes, we're going to get our guy in there and it's all going to be good. I've seen this movie decade after decade and it's just accelerated in the past 10 years. I don't see how you fix it. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to take the 35 mile an hour Thelma Louise people, which would be the Republicans, over the 55 mile or six, let's say 75 mile an hour Thelma Democrats. Louise Democrats. They're full on the throttle. But don't make no mistake. It's the same. It's taking you the same road at this point. It's the uniparty.
No, and with Trump, you know, Trump did a lot of good things, but
he spent like crazy.
He spent like,
I know,
crazy.
Yeah.
You know, the only way you're really going to change something is if you get a president in there from whatever party that says, I'm going to veto every single bill that comes before my desk unless it truly just sticks to one issue.
Yeah, I could see that.
It doesn't have pork in it.
Or, you know.
Say, veto, send it back. Give me one without pork and I'll pass it.
I got more thoughts on this, but I need a minute. I need a minute to recover. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Shouldn't have watched the documentary before bed. Didn't get enough sleep.
Bad dreams.
Grumpy. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right, if you're thinking about selling your home in the Flagstaff area, call Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Property Group, brokered by EXP. She does a great job. 888-446-5602. She told me the other day, Mark, this is one of the strangest markets she's ever seen because it's weird. You got 7-8% interest rates, but you got homes at like median price $800,000.
Yes.
People coming in with cash at $2, $3 million. Inflation is insanity right now. But look, you might be the beneficiary of that. You might be able to sell your home and do really good right now. Call Kelly Broaddus, 888-446-5602, and she'll be able to help you out. Also, hey, don't forget about Zero Res of Northern Arizona. Great special going on now. If you use the promo code RELAX15, that's what I need to do, RELAX15. And that's for their maid service. They have house cleaning service. So a great service where people come in, do maybe the things you don't want to do. Maybe you want to get a great gift for someone who's cleaning the house all the time.
Well, that's a big thing for two income households where both husband and wife are working.
They're busy. Yeah, trying to keep up with inflation. So, yeah, use promo code RELAX15, 928-378-8888. That's 928-378-8888 or go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. So yeah, the Inflation Reduction Act, Mark. Suppose this goes to show you the capacity of the thought process in Washington D.C. at this point, and a lot of Americans too, because you don't spend more money
to get out of debt.
Yeah, to get out of that, or to simmer down inflation. You don't add $1.2 trillion to the spending to bring this down.
That was for the infrastructure bill. The Inflation Reduction Act is a different one.
Yeah, I can't even remember. Yeah, it's just more money. More money.
You know, it's two different bills. Tons of spending. You know, the only time you really want to spend in debt, and preferably never, but if you are creating something that's going to bring in revenue, you know, in private business world, if you can buy new equipment that's going to make a product and you can sell it and turn a profit, then you might go in debt.
That's different. If you can use debt to increase your productive capacity.
Exactly.
And that's what America did for most of the 1800s into the early 1900s, really right on up to World War II. Well, we were the arsenal of democracy. There was so much manufacturing capacity in this country. That's not the case anymore.
No, and look at all the great projects that were done up until, up through the 60s. You got the dams here in the
dams,
West.
Yep.
The Hoover, Highway the systems. Glen Canyon, the TVA way back in the day. Things that you might have spent money for, but that have blessed the country for years with electricity or infrastructure, allowing trucking to go across country.
Roads.
You know, if you're spending money for roads, hopefully you don't even have to get in debt for it. There's enough tax money out there. But if you have to, it's a valuable thing.
Yeah.
But if you're just trying to kill smallmouth bass in the Colorado River.
Yeah. This is the problem with, I think, what you're saying, not having a single item to vote up and down.
Right. And you can't say, I voted for this or I voted against it. There's so many things in it.
You voted for the whole pile of crap. And I'll go back to my comments earlier about you've been thrown into the meat grinder.
Yep.
And they're just throwing out crap. And you're like, okay, I took the good with the bad. Well, yeah, but there's so much bad in there at this point. I don't know how you clean this out. That's the problem I have. And so you got $258,000 to fight the invasive bass in the Colorado River. And they're talking about poison. They're going to dump a bunch of poison
down the river, and then neutralize the poison.
Yeah,
they do it.
Could you imagine Mark going to them?
Can we just forget about this humpback chub? Just let it die out. Let it go the way of the carrier pigeon. Just adios.
Don't we still have carrier? We are going to be using carrier pigeons soon.
No, there's still pigeons, but there was like a billion of them, and they got wiped out.
They got wiped out.
And that particular type of pigeon. Yeah. We still have plenty of pigeons.
Does pigeon taste as good as dove? Maybe that was the problem.
Pigeons are just like doves. I mean,
yeah. The dove are really good, by the way.
Dove are good.
Yeah, very good. You got this fish. It's an ugly-looking fish. I know bass tastes pretty good. Trout tastes pretty good.
Yeah, brown really trout good. Tastes good. Rainbow trout tastes
That fish
great.
Doesn't look like it. I'm going to have to go with the one that tastes better. Although I've never had it's probably illegal to have a humpback chub or whatever. But why would you want to have one now? There's going to be poison floating around the Colorado River. This sounds like a bad plan. But this is what they come up with all the time, is just bad plans.
That fish looks like a little mutant sturgeon.
Yeah, that thing don't look
sturgeon
right.
Fish.
That thing looks like it was like probably the plant that spawned Godzilla.
Just let it die. If it doesn't... You know, here's what I really don't get. It's like people claim to not believe in God. They're like, we're evolutionists, survival of the fittest. And then this fish is not fit. Just if you really believe that, let the darn thing die off.
It's not the enemy.
And if you believe God created the world like I do... He's got it in control. Let the thing die off. Either way, let it die.
Meant to be at this point.
Just let it go.
I'm kind of feeling that way with the goat head thorns in Camp Verde. The most evil thing that has no purpose at all. And I'm like, I'm trying to maintain the insanity with those things because they get into your shoes and they're really nasty. No, but I steal a line from author and investor Jim Rogers. Had some of these people been around when the Grand Canyon first started forming, you know, erosion started happening, they'd be putting up signs saying, you know, there's erosion happening. We got to do something about this. They would prevent the Grand Canyon from forming. So
it's true.
Yeah.
You know, what really happens is such and such politician wants the backing of the Grand Canyon Trust or whoever.
Yeah, whatever group is.
So they do their pet bill
or
throw it into a pork pile.
Yeah.
And then they get the back. Next time they're up for election, the Grand Canyon Trust or whoever comes up and says, hey, vote for this one because their support, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, here's our, you know, you get those mailers that have, here's our recommended list of people to vote for because they supported the
pet project.
What's it called again? Humpback.
The humpback chub.
Folks, look up this fish. This is one ugly looking fish. No, I don't want, look, it was, this is a problem with things invasive species being introduced. It happens all over the place. But you know what? It's as people have migrated and traveled around the world, we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, these populations have been introduced. Yes. So is that part of the overall plan? Like you were saying, it's people are doing that and people are moving around. Well, now there's Hawaii, for example.
Yeah.
Hawaii's had all kinds of invasive species. The chickens on Kauai. There's chickens everywhere. There's no natural predators. I was telling locals over there, just start popping them off. You just, know, just start cooking them. Oh, we can't eat those. You see what they eat? And I was like, yeah, they're chickens. They eat everything.
Chickens eat disgust. If you watch what chickens eat, you'll either just accept it or you'll just give up eating meat because they just yell.
Yeah, but that's life. That's the problem with the disconnect in our society of where food comes from.
Right.
People are like, ooh, I saw you process that. Like Owens, he's now able to do the doves. He's going to move up to his grandpa, maybe take him out, do deer next year, you know, and great. I know you got drawn for
elk.
So, you know, that's something that is hard to do at first, but as you do it more and more, as you process animals, things like that, you're like, okay, I understand this. But people are more than happy to grab a sealed thing from the grocery store. They don't even know what country of origin the meat's from.
Right.
And it's processed. The chickens are in this little 1 foot by 1 foot box. You know, and chicken, it's like, okay, that's fine.
Chicken is still the biggest mystery to me because by pound, it's probably the cheapest food in the grocery store.
Yeah, it probably is.
It's like, how do you grow something, process it, get the feathers off of it, the head, you know, just and turn this thing into meat for almost no money? It's unbelievably cheap.
It is unbelievable. It's just mass production. They do so many millions, and it's pretty gnarly when you look at those videos of those major processing places out there. All right, I'd love you to subscribe to the podcast. We do have Stephen Shadig coming up from Americans for Prosperity. We're going to talk about Bidenomics. We're going to talk about a bunch of oil and gas leases being canceled as well. Of course, see those prices?
Oh. Woo!
Yeah, really high. All right, Kim Dawson with Nova Home Loans can help you get your home refinanced. She can also help you get into a home. It's tough. It's tough to, you know, there is programs out there that'll help you.
Can she give me a loan for gas?
She can. I know Kim Dawson can get you gas to fill up your tank, a loan for that. You might need it pretty soon. Call her up, ask her. Say Jeff said you have gas loans. HELOC on your house so you can afford the increased gas prices. But anyway, call Kim Dawson, Nova Home Loans. I did a refinance with her last year. She did a great job. By the way, mention the Jeff Orvich Show because you get $250 off at close if the whole deal goes through. You got to mention the show, though, when you call. She's got great programs for, like I said, first-time buyers, off-grid properties. Off-grid properties with humpback chubs, that's a big thing. No, I'm just kidding. She'll be able to help you out. And Nova Home Loans is Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender. So they've got a lot of ability to do things like a broker or like a bank. Give Kim Dawson a call right now at 928-310-6458. 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697-411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087. BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Also, thanks to Just Wireless, their location right there on Milton Avenue, right off I-17. Great refurbished phones, which is good for the environment, instead of throwing them out. Or instead of throwing out Mark's phone, there's probably $1,800.
I'm still on an 11.
But you're on an 11. I'm on a 6. So I'm going to go over there and get a new-to-me refurbished phone from Just Wireless. Also, if you got a cracked screen or if you need your charging port fixed, batteries on iPhones or those other ones, what's the other one?
Samsung, Android,
whatever you use. Just Wireless will be able to help you out. Stop on by. Tell them I sent you. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orvich Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to the Jeff Orvich Show. This is the Jeff Orvich Show.
right. I'll try to be more optimistic. You do this every day, and some days you're just like, oh, we got to keep fighting, though. We got Stephen Shattuck from Americans for Prosperity here in Arizona. Stephen, welcome back to the program. You're bringing some sunshine and optimism and unicorns and rainbows to the show today. How you doing?
I'm going to try to. It's always great to be joining you, Jeff, and Mark. And I will try to bring my optimism because while I just like you, I get down on it. The reality is that, Ronald Reagan said it best, freedom is not free. And if we give up that fight, then we've given up our country and we can't do that.
Yeah. My first segment is quite pessimistic on DC. And I think hopeless came into there at this point because we keep sending people there. And I think we send a lot. I wouldn't use the word a lot now. Stephen, I would use, we send enough to make waves like the Freedom Caucus, folks like that. And they do make a lot of waves and they're doing the Biden potential impeachment thing here. We'll see if that goes anywhere, but there's not enough of us. So you say, hey, just keep on going. We got to keep trying. We can't give up. There's no plan B, Stephen.
We can't give up.
No.
Although Jeff, I will note that, I think that we have a lot of good members back there who are fighting a very good fight. That said, I think that part of the issue that we're facing right now is that we are sending the wrong people back. The people we are sending back are individuals who we've been sending there for quite some time,
Yeah. And
they've lost touch with the American people. And when I say when they lost touch with the American people, I mean, they are not connected to the daily struggles that the generation that's behind the baby boomers are facing right now. I mean, those struggles are the average age of a first-time home buyer is 36 years old. To buy a new car today, it's $100,000. That's not the American dream. That was the American dream for the baby boom generation, and they're in a place where they've been able to live their American dream. But we need to start focusing on the future generations of this country, and I think that the individuals that we're sending back have missed that point. And I think they continue to focus on kind of the direction we have been going, and they need to start looking at the direction that we need to be going.
Well, quite honestly, some of them don't even have the cognitive ability to recognize that at this point. I mean, it's bad. And we did a show last week. Maybe you were in that one, Mark. It was, time, maybe it's Angela, time for the baby boomers to go. Well, and I'm not saying all of them, but it's like it's time to let off the reins, and the Gen Xers and the millennials are going to have to take over.
Literally people in our government right now that were born while we were still fighting the Nazis in World War II. I mean, that's a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. It's insane. So that
contributed a lot.
No. I'm not trying to diminish it, but it's the time has passed when you can't remember where you're at, when, you have to be guided off the stage in foreign countries while you're mumbling something that nobody understands. And by the way, I have my finger on the nuke button. I mean, that's not good. So that's going to happen though, because I mean, these people are going to have to step aside at some point, whether by natural causes, or they're just going to stop running. People will stop electing them. I mean, that's just naturally going to happen. But look, you brought up a good point. Mark sent me a picture earlier of him filling up his pickup with diesel at $5 a gallon.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, that was painful because I had to fill up two cars. I spent over $200.
Exactly. So people can't get to work. People can't buy food. People can't pay rent. I just see that Arizona, we'll have this in our news roundup later, has gotten like $120 million in HUD money to help people with rent. Why are we even in that position? Why is that even happening at this point? Now you've got gas and oil leases that have been canceled all over the place while gas prices are surging. What's with this report you guys put out, Stephen?
Yeah. So what we're doing is AFP is focused on mobilizing its grassroots activities all over the country. And it's all focused on the idea of connecting individuals to the fact that prosperity is possible and that we don't have to accept the status quo of Bidenomics, which is nothing more than the White House trying to recapture the narrative on a lackluster economy. And so rather than the kind of top down central planning, that's the core kind of feature of Bidenomics, AFP is emphasizing solutions that will make it more affordable. And what we've done in this report is identified those, a lot of it in the report is based around energy, things like Resolution Copper and the permitting process that Resolution Copper is currently going through in order to be able to mine the copper. And it's connecting folks to understand that when we put restrictions on our natural resources like copper, that's going to cause an increase in the supply of the good. It means we're getting less goods out to consumers, which means the cost of that good, whether it's through microchips or computers, that's going to go up. And so it's connecting folks to understanding that, yes, there is the direct reflection of the energy as to fuel, which also has regulations, but it's so far beyond that. I mean, I think it would probably be northeast of you, you've got Ponax, right? And that goes into bottles. You look at the cost of fuel and what that has effect on the consumers that have to farm that barley. And so our goal is to connect individuals to understanding that if we pull these regulations back, it will lower the cost and it'll help make prosperity possible in their own lives.
You think you could connect with enough people with that? That's the challenge. I understand that. You understand it, Stephen. We've known each other for years, Mark, and I talk about it all the time.
How do you educate people to understand just some larger economic ideas?
Yeah. And you got to do it in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, that's the purpose of kind of the event that we're hosting tonight in Flagstaff, Arizona, at the Little American, and the events that we're hosting across the country, which is we understand that it's going to take it's not a 30-second pitch, right? So tonight's event is we basically get an hour and 15 minutes to kind of have those quality one-on-one conversations with the presentation. The other thing we do is we're hosting, we're giving at Century out free gas in Phoenix. I think it's on Thursday, where we're lowering the price of gas to $2.38. You want to take a guess what that price was and why that's $2.38? That's the price that fuel cost took off.
At what? Say it again?
We're paying that the price of fuel that it cost when Biden took office.
Okay, was $2.38. Okay. So you wait. You're gonna offer gas at $2.38 because I want to be there.
So what we do is for 2 hours from 9 a.m. to 11 in Phoenix at an ARCO, and we'll release the address, we lower the cost of gas down to $2.38, and we pay the difference between the current cost of that station and what the $2.38 is. So everybody fills up at $2.38, and we pay the owners the difference of that cost. We're still Americans. What the real impact of the Biden administration is.
And were you going to advertise that afterwards and say, or just let each individual know as you're zipping the card there?
Yeah. So what happens is kind of to connect you to the bigger vision. So there's quite a large line, as you can imagine, that would line up. And so all of our activists and staff, we get about 10 to 15 minutes with each participant as they're waiting in line. And that's where we have the conversations. And we do ask that in order for kind of this to be a mutually beneficial partnership, we do ask them to complete a 3-question survey in which we then follow up with them on the 3 questions that we ask about kind of the direction of the economy and what they'd like to see better. And we sit down and have those one-on-one conversations, start to build that relationship and really just educate individuals on government and on regulation and the impact of those regulations.
Okay. Wasn't there, did I read something that a governor somewhere today, I had it in my notes, what suspended the gas tax on an emergency order? You know, that's what the governors all do now. You know, you suspend the Second Amendment, which is more ingrained than a gas tax, of course. But there was some governor somewhere that suspended that gas tax, and I think people realize how much taxation they're actually getting. I mean, here in Arizona, what is it?
18 cents.
18 cents, and in federal, it's 18 cents. But some states are much more.
I don't know what governor it was, but I can tell you it's not our governor.
That's for sure.
No, of course not. Well, that's going to be an interesting experiment. I mean, I hope that people realize that, hey, here's what the gas price was. And, you know, we're not utilizing our natural resources here in this country now. And now gas is probably down there. It's usually a lot more, $4.50 or something. Up here, it's like $4.25 at this point. So that's going to be a hefty bill. Don't get Mike Pence to zip the card because he had some trouble with that. All right. So to give us the event tonight, Stephen, this is in Flagstaff, and we're talking, in case you're listening to the podcast, it's Tuesday, September 12th. What time and location?
So the event is going to be tonight at Flagstaff at the Little American Hotel. It is a free event. The doors will open at 5:30. We have buffet style. It's going to be fajitas. They're going to be served around 6. And then from 6:30 to 7:30, we'll do a training on kind of how we roll back regulations,
okay,
and how we can make it so that prosperity truly is possible, and connecting individuals to understanding that one of the questions that I like to ask individuals during these courses is, are you living your best life right now? Are you happy with where you are? And most of them all say, we're getting by. And what we've been focused on is connecting individuals to understanding that the American dream isn't getting by. The American dream is that you as an individual should be able to achieve anything that you want if you're willing to take financial risk, the financial risk that you take on, not financial risks that are forced upon you by the government because of the regulations of the positions that they put you in. And it really does start to help people recenter and see that the America we live in today is not the America that is the American dream. And we need to get back to having the American dream and for everybody to be able to live their best life, not just making it by.
We do. All right. I agree with that. Okay. Good job, Stephen. Americans for Prosperity. That's tonight at 5:30 p.m. at Little America. That's sort of there on Butler and Flagstaff. There's food involved. And then you hang out and hopefully learn something on how we can get back to what made this country great. Stephen, keep up the good work. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, right. Mark. Thanks
for being on. We'll talk with you soon. I'm feel better. You feel better?
You feeling cursed?
Yeah, I feel better. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. A lot more to come. All right. See you, the Blind Brothers. You want to save money on energy costs? Great way there with your blinds. Mark, you've talked about how much you lose through your windows. It's crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, windows are like R2, R3.
Yeah.
It's almost R2, no insulation.
D2. It's no insulation. So call the Blind Brothers. They're going to be able to help you out and get you great new blind shutters or shades, just like they did for me and Angela. 928-634-2423. I wonder if in the Inflation Reduction Act there was all kinds of rebates. You know there's rebates for wood stoves now? Maybe they should do it on blinds. Why not?
I thought it was for biomass stoves.
Biomass. If blinds are made with biomass, maybe. Anyway, call the Blind Brothers, 928-634-2423. Mention the Jeff Orbit Show, and you get half off installation. Also, Diamond Auto Glass on 4th Street in Flagstaff. Fix that rock, those rock chips. Fix those cracks in your windshield. Replace that whole windshield with them. They know what they're doing. There's a lot of tech in these windshields nowadays, so you got to have someone who knows this stuff inside and out. And that's Diamond Auto Glass on 4th Street, where the difference is clear. 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140. If you've had the coverage with them before, you've had a glass replacement, you don't even need an appointment. You just zip on by right there on 4th Street. They'll get it done in about 15 minutes or so. 928-779-4140. Back in a minute. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
Thanks, Stephen Shattig with Americans for Prosperity. That's a good event. 5:30 tonight at Little America on Butler Avenue. Food. I mean, that's going to draw people. And
free fajitas.
Something about free fajitas. Wow. And then the discounted gas on Thursday somewhere down in Phoenix. No, I think it's good. He did make a really good point as far as, you know, we need a new generation. We need to send the right leaders. Yes. And don't take my frustration earlier as let's just give up and do nothing. Sometimes the tide's coming in and you're building those sandcastles and stuff and you're going to get wiped out. And we got to send people to DC. Don't get me wrong on that. We're not there yet, though. There's something not in line right for this country changing. When the country changes, I don't know if it's going to change to my liking or Mark's liking or your liking, but a big change is coming. And right now you got kind of the tight issue. Right now we're fighting banana republic stuff. You've got, you know, impeachment here, impeachment there. You've got questionable elections over here and this and that. It's hard to fight something when it's so crazy. And it's like if you study like Sun Tzu, Art of War, Yep. It's like sometimes you gotta dig in, and there's a time, and that's what I think we're all getting ready for. When is that time when the new leadership pops up, Mark?
So
it's coming.
In New Mexico, you have that crazy
crazy governor.
Governor is suspended the Second Amendment. I heard also the First Amendment.
Well, why not?
And it was based on there were some unsolved crimes. She says, "All right, nobody can carry your guns, even if you got your CCW and all this."
Because I say so.
And so a bunch of protesters went down with their guns, and protest just stood there with their guns, and the police refused to arrest them. Yeah. They just said, "No, we're not doing this." And that's what it takes. It takes Americans, true Americans, to stand up, be counted, speak out, maybe risk getting arrested. You know, mm-hmm. You look back at how Martin Luther King really had an impact on this country. He's like, "Yeah, we're probably going to get arrested and actually bit by dogs, you know, all kinds mm-hmm. of crazy stuff, but we're going to do it because the change is that important."
Yes. And it took a long time though.
Yep.
Until it became more popular and it caught on with the bulk of society, I guess, Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
And they finally go down there and the soldiers had to decide, are we going to shoot these people?
Right.
After all these years, or are we going to just lay it down? They laid it down. They knew that time will come. I don't see it here right now. I don't see that because everybody gets all excited around election time. I mean, we're not quite there yet. No, our guys are going to win. We're going to be sending them. Okay, maybe. But I've been disappointed so many times, too. It's going to take a fundamental change. Different people, different ideas. The old guard needs to be, you know, removed from office, leave office, whichever process it takes. That's what it's going to take. Otherwise, sometimes you've got to get yourself ready for when that's coming. And I don't see us there yet. I don't see the average American to that point yet. They're still very comfortable.
No,
and it's going to take something bigger. I don't know what it's going to take, Mark. That's what I'm a little nervous about.
We need people in office that really love this country. And they're not going to always agree. You know, two of my favorite people were Rand Paul and Ron Paul, his father. Mm-hmm. Didn't always agree with them, but I could tell they love this country.
Yeah.
And they believe, you know, the direction it should go in their minds, but at least they have that basis of like, I love America. I don't think Nancy Pelosi and a lot of these people even have that. I don't think they love this country.
It's the power of getting back in office.
Yes.
I mean, here she is 82, 83 or whatever. And it's like, really, you think that you're that important to this system?
There's nobody else that can replace you. That is
unbelievable. But I think they believe this. Plus, they're just addicted to that power.
They are.
Maybe it'll get to the point of frustration after all these people have been in office for so long where people demand term limits that we've talked about, and age limits maybe, things like that. Because I don't want our generation to be the ones in there being the old farts that are still ruling it. All right, talk with Jeff. I'm sure there's some comments coming. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. We've got a lot more to come as well. And plus, hit subscribe. Appreciate everyone that's doing that. Back in just a few minutes. This portion of the show is brought to you by Diamond Auto Glass.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
I saw a guy out earlier, Mark. I was driving back. I stopped at Marco's Pizza for some lunch, right?
Oh, yeah, great pizza.
Great pizza. And some guy's like, need, and it wasn't even a good spot. He wasn't even motivated to get in a good spot. It was like under some tree on the side road, basically. Need money or weed. And I was just like, okay.
Wait, are you saying that was a shady tree beggar?
Yeah, it was shady, all right. And I was like, well, at least you're being honest, you know? Yeah. I didn't give him either, of course, but.
Yeah, I saw a big diesel pickup truck like mine in front of me a couple weeks ago, and he sticks his hand out the window and gives the guy in the corner some money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wanted to get up next to him and like see who this was. And I kind of followed him through town.
Wait. The guy in the diesel truck?
Yeah. Yeah. And
are you stalking this guy?
Well, I just happened to be going the same way and I got to see where he went. And so his next stop after handing the guy some money was to stop at the Noble Herb and buy himself some dope. That's the kind of person that feeds the bears.
Yeah. I just never would do that. I mean, I think many of us do charity stuff in various different ways.
Intelligent ways.
Yeah, but for every time I'm at the light and I see somebody handing money, and you each to their own, but I'm just like, you don't know where that's going. And at least that guy was honest about,
you know where it's going.
Cash or weed. Yeah, it's usually going to liquor and things like that. And and then it just creates more of a problem. And I notice it everywhere. I mean, it's just it's things that you used to not see in a small town. Remember Jason Aldean song, Small Town?
Yeah.
And then he got in some trouble because he had BLM clips, you know. Remember the peaceful protests where they weren't burning things down and stuff like that. And, but this stuff's happening in small towns. I mean, look what's going on in Cottonwood.
Yeah.
I mean, they got this mayor down there. This guy's just, how did this guy get back in there? Mayor Alinsky. There's a recall going on in this guy right now. I hope they get rid of him. He was the mask nut where the council said, this is back during COVID, we don't want to do a mask. The council voted. And he goes, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the guy just
needs to go.
Yeah. Needs people like that. That's what we're talking about with Stephen Shattuck last hour. And he's not exactly the old guard. He's probably like our age or something like that, right? A little old, but not too old.
Here's the big problem.
Old leaders need to go at this point.
In small towns, you usually have one newspaper, right? One local news outlet that covers your elections and everything. And I know from running for office that there's no fairness in that at all. When I ran for office, for example, a Navajo Nation paper ran stories on me without ever even calling me to ask my side of the story.
Really? I'd like to pull those up.
One-sided news.
Yeah.
And you get that a lot in small towns. You know, up here, we got the Daily Sun.
Have you read that thing, though? I mean, it's like, it used to be like some local articles, and there used to be tons of stuff. Like when I was on the council, they'd have someone showing up to meetings.
Yep.
It's like almost all AP.
Almost all, yeah.
And it kind of stinks because you're like, I wish we had the small town paper still, because they're owned by a bigger company.
And one that isn't just radically biased.
I know, and it's so obvious. I mean,
I
think you pulled the story, the local story they had was the humpback Chubb story. But that was an AP. That was picked up. I saw that all over the place last week.
Got picked up.
And if you weren't listening last hour in the Inflation Reduction Act, how you fix inflation is you spend $250,000 to try to eradicate the bass in the Colorado River to save the humpback chub. And it's like by dumping poison in the river, that'll probably cause all kinds of other problems.
And this
is
just the most recent attempt to get rid of this problem of these dying fish. It's been going on and on. I mean, they were paying money. They were paying out money every month for people to catch brown trout.
Oh, yeah.
To kill them.
Did you get in on that?
No, I didn't.
We could have made a career out of that.
I know.
Yeah, just catch the trout and get paid for...
And get to eat the food.
Get to eat the food.
Instead of turning the guts in the head.
As well, yeah. So, but the small town papers are... And rightfully so, because a lot of them were so biased. I mean, I had so many run-ins with the local paper here that I stopped giving them quotes years ago.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm good. I know what you're going to do.
Yep.
It's so predictable. But then a lot of small town papers, you think they're small town, they're just owned by bigger companies at this point. It's been consolidated all that. So, yeah, but anyway, that's where we're at. It's changing, and in 10 years, you won't have things like the physical paper finally be gone. The landline will finally, I mean, it's already almost done. You know, I had my father-in-law over this weekend and he was like trying to watch a game. He's like, well, you got cable. And he's like, I don't have cable. Haven't had that for a long time.
Did you catch that article about there's antitrust law going against the federal government against Google, right?
Yeah,
so they're saying Google violated antitrust laws. And the heart of the issue is Google saying, hey, we just have the best product out there. That's why people use us. But the reality is Google paid Apple and all these different companies to make them the default browser on the computer. So you go buy your new Apple computer or your Mac, your PC or whatever, and Google's the default browser.
Yes.
They paid those companies to be the default
browser. Premium placement or whatever.
Yeah, basically. It's not... You're not getting chosen because you're the best. You're getting chosen because you just happen to be the default thing.
Is that good business, though, or is that just monopolistic, like we're talking Standard Oil stuff that happened turn of the early 1900s when they broke up Standard Oil? I don't know. Do you think they're going to try to break something like Google up? There's a lot of competition.
They'll probably fine them a bunch.
Yeah, like probably an antitrust. Fine. But they don't care because they make so much money. Yeah, they own everything. Does breaking up monopolies actually do much of anything, though? Because you go back to like Standard Oil.
Well, don't even go back that far. Go back to AT&T.
Oh, the phone, the telecoms.
Right? Getting broken up.
Yeah.
Which now it means nothing, right? Because that whole world has just perished, right? Of the landline and AT&T and getting broken up into the different groups. And it got to the point where they had drawn lines on the floor in the AT&T office and said, all right, this one is going to be Southwestern Bell, this one's going to be AT&T, this one's going to be whatever, and
Same thing with Standard Oil.
You're right.
And Rockefeller still shares and all those companies and all that. It's
I do think breaking up monopolies is really important because power and money go together. And the more money you have, the more money you make. You can't make money if you don't have money. And it kind of just all works its way up into a few families, a few companies. And you've got to break that up to keep capitalism alive. Mm. If you can't, we were talking about with your guest last hour, you know, the average American is, what, 36 on their first home now or something like that, he said?
Yeah, that's
that is really old in my mind.
I did a double take. Now, that was Stephen Shadig from Americans for Prosperity. Let me remind everyone, there is a thing at 5:30 coming up here pretty quick at Little America on Butler Avenue. You show up at 5:30 and there's food, and Americans for Prosperity is going to talk about how we can hopefully save our country from all the lunacy going on. But yeah, 36 for a first house. When Angela and I got married back in the last century, 1998, we were in our early 20s, and we met when we were 19, started dating when we were 19, and we got married. I think we were 20, 22.
Yeah.
Rings a bell. Sorry, Angela. Time flies by. I can't remember. I think it was 22. But we were already planning pretty early on. We were saving everything to buy a house. And shortly after we got married, it wasn't too much longer, months or a year or something like that, we bought our first home.
Yep.
Because we knew that was so important to, I don't know, stability. It was just ingrained in us. Wealth, I don't even know if we were thinking wealth, but we were just like, we need a home. I want a place that I can paint the walls and put a garden in.
I was either 19 or 20 on my first house.
Okay. So and you're even a couple years younger.
Yeah, because my dad was like, hey,
buy a
house, and they were cheap back then. I mean, it was $41,000, $42,000.
Yeah, we had an outrageous one. It was like $85,000.
Yeah, that was outrageous prices, right?
Yeah.
And now it's a fraction, but
it's 10 times. First house was $80,000 in 2000. And I'm sorry. Let's say 1999 approximately.
Yeah.
So what are we talking here? 25 years?
It went up 10 times.
10 times. 10-fold for that house.
Did the average person's wages go up 10 times?
No.
No. Definitely not.
No.
Did the cost of college tuition go up 10 times?
No.
Maybe. The cost of...
Oh, probably more than that.
Yeah, right.
And I would argue that government has made all of that more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that, especially on education. That's what you got to try to get to these kids, because they think that... We need student loan forgiveness. We need this and that because the cost of education is so much. Well, they need to be asking, why is this cost so much? Because some evil person is saying we need to make a bunch of money. No, because a bunch of money flowed into student loans. Student loans got backed by the government, essentially. Yep. So the money was just handed out. So all of this extra money was floating around. So these universities were like, we got to get more kids. So now we're building this nice high rise here and this and this. And that's the cost of doing business. Instead of just teaching the kids, it's expensive because they had all this money flood in because of the government.
You know, my college story, I've got a couple degrees and almost a third one.
You work on one right now?
No. Well, not really.
Maybe.
We can talk about it a different time. But I had bought and sold two homes way before I got a college degree. Mm. And the only reason I even went to college in the first place was I was in Texas. I was like, I need to learn Spanish because a lot of our workforce is Spanish.
The practical reason.
Practical reason. Yeah. And so I went down and took Spanish, you know, after hours. And it was really a good thing for my business to be able to speak Spanish. Most of which I've forgotten since I left Texas.
Yeah, if you don't use it.
If you don't use it, you lose it. But, you know, most of my college, you know, I've got, I don't know, 200 credit hours. I don't even know at this point. I used the Spanish. I used a drafting class. I used a web design class. And that was about it. The rest?
It's all just filler. It's for fun.
Yeah. You know?
It's filler. It's, you got to have this to be a well-rounded person. Not really. Didn't you get that by the time you were in 12th grade?
Hopefully.
Yeah, I still go back to a segment we did a couple weeks ago. I might have been you, that should people be out at 10th grade? So I got 10th grade, you're done, you're moving on to college, you're going in the workforce.
One or the other.
Yeah, you're just, life's short, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're spending two more years for what? Yep. Dribble?
No, it's...
At this point, you know?
Both of us grew up in our dad's businesses. I was working in my dad's business literally from 12 years old. And by the time I was 14, I paid cash for my first car. Sold that, bought my second car when I was 15.
Before you had your license?
Pay cash, yeah. Before I had my license, I owned a car.
Were you driving around without the license?
No, I didn't inhale.
Was that you hanging out there in the street today? No, it's changed. But how do we get back to the point where you're not buying your first home at 30. Now, priorities have changed, especially for millennials and was that Gen Z or whatever they're calling that. Like that's Isabel and Olivia's and Owen's generation, I think. That young, a lot of them don't want to own a house, but have they been kind of, has it been blazed into them that, oh, you shouldn't buy a house. You shouldn't be owning a house. You want to be mobile. You want to be this. Mm-hmm. But then I think if you're moving around every year, you're going to find yourself 50, 60, and you're still moving around a lot every year. And well, if you can't get that stability and can't get that anchor and, you know, put the roots down, I guess.
And we're
not for everybody, but
we're compounding our problems in this country because if you don't own a house till you're 36 and you don't have kids until you're 32, you know, all right, so your kids who are going to need to pay into Social Security and all that for your retirement are not going to be very well established by the time you get to 65, right? Because you had them at 32 instead of having them at 22 or 19.
Yeah.
Your kids have lost 10, 12, 15 years of wealth making that they need to support your butt when you're in the nursing
home. And will they be able to help you? And you've had some issues with nursing homes. Let's get to that because you're dealing with elderly parents, family, and you want to help them out, but it's so complex nowadays when it comes to nursing homes, when it comes to all the expenses. Yes.
Retirement expenses
and all that. And we'd love to hear from you too. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right, thanks to Desert Gold Exchange. Justin and his family-run company do an awesome job. Isn't it a good time to learn about physical gold and silver? It's been around for a couple of years, right? Recorded history, right? They've been using this stuff. So I think long after we print the dollar into further worthlessness, it'll probably still be around. I don't tell you what to do. That's why you need to educate yourself. Call Desert Gold Exchange. Ask for their free investors kit. Mention the Jeff Orvit Show. They're going to treat you like gold. 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. Also, thanks to Diamond Auto Glass, where the difference is clear. Go there. Get your windshield repaired. Save some money. They'll fill those rock chips that you get. If you've had glass coverage, that is included. If you need all new windshield, they do a great job. They've been taking care of my family for years. Diamond Auto Glass, 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. Or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. We do have a demographic problem in this country and in the West, and that is not enough young people to hopefully take care of the older people.
Right.
Baby boom generation is a huge generation coming up. But people aren't having kids, or like you mentioned earlier, they're having kids at 38, 42, 44, later and later, because everything's later nowadays. But we've got this issue of dealing with helping our elders, caring for them. Mm-hmm. Now, you've had some experience in this.
Yeah, a couple of things. So the baby boom generation, which if I remember the years, it goes up to late 60s. So I'm
late 60s or very early 70s.
I'm a Gen Xer.
Yeah, you know, I'm a Gen Xer.
You know, we're like the 70s kids. The baby boomers, there's a lot of them, and the Gen Xers, there's not actually that many.
No,
of us.
Not as much.
No, and then the millennials, there's more of them. So we, as the Gen Xers, who are working to pay into the Social Security system to pay for the baby boomers, there's not a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
And as more and more of the baby boom generation is just done working and is on Social Security, there's not a whole lot of us to pay for them. Because that's what you're doing. You're not saving up Social Security for yourself. You're paying for the current retired
generation. Yeah, this isn't the lockbox or something. Like, no, it doesn't go into savings for you. There's a bucket load of money or something like that. I wish we had gotten to a system like that where you could put it into safe things. I wouldn't want people to speculate with it. Although I don't believe in any of this stuff. I know a lot of you obviously relying on Social Security and, you know, it's promised, et cetera, et cetera. we should have never went down this road, in my opinion. I don't believe in any of the government handouts. I paid into it though, Jeff. I had Social Security withdrawn. The government shouldn't have been involved in that.
You did not pay into your own retirement though. That is the big trick. You paid into supporting the generation that's currently
exactly
retired.
Yeah. And if you do the numbers, especially how long people are living now, and if you retired in your 60s or something, or even sometimes 50s. You didn't pay in what is going to pay out.
Right.
That's just the cold, hard facts. I know some people get mad when you talk about that, but the government, the taxpayer should have never been in this in the first place, because this is predictable what was going to happen. They never thought it would go this long, I think. When it was first come up with it was, there was a lot more workers. It was 10 to 1 or something. I've read those numbers before.
Oh, it's way higher than 10.
Yeah, maybe even higher than that. Now it's like, it's much lower
it's
than that.
It's headed for 3 to 1.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah, 3 to 1, 4 to 1, something like that. But that's the problem. That's why I'm just like, I don't believe in rebates anymore. I don't believe in begging for taxes to come back to me. We need to get rid of all of that, because it just all turns to crap. It just all turns to boondoggles, political favors. We need to get rid of all that. We need to teach people how to take care of themselves, how to save money, how to invest money. Get back to that.
Here's my proposal. We raise the age where you can start collecting Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
To whatever the age of the oldest politician in Washington is.
what is that age anyway? Who is the oldest?
It's got to be.
It's got to be in the mid 80s, right?
Einstein or.
I'll look that up too. But back to the baby boomers. Baby boomers are 1946 to 1964.
Okay,
but that's considered that generation. Gen X, me and Mark, is 65 to 79.
Okay,
and then I assume the Millennials are right after that.
Yeah, and I've heard different years. I've heard
85. Yeah, it's
a general
rough sketch. Yeah,
general.
Yeah, and you might be on the tail end, and you're like, I feel like I'm more part of this generation than the other one.
So what we're dealing with is, I've got mother and father that are retired, and they are hitting 80 years old, and he worked in the military. He's a veteran. He's got veteran benefits, and then he was a school teacher, and he got school teacher retirement, and all these things, and it was enough to live on. Until suddenly inflation is out of control and the pensions and the Social Security and all that don't get raised up as high as inflation has been going up. So then they start having to draw out of their savings, and then they're not getting the interest off those savings.
They're outliving their money.
Yep. It's this compounding problem because of government-induced inflation.
Yep.
They really stuck it to the old people.
And then they lie about it. So they may raise the Social Security amount by the inflation number. The inflation number may be 5% or something, but real inflation is double that.
Right.
We just talked
about
more.
The cost of a house in the last 25 years has gone up 10 times.
Exactly. But remember,
wages have not.
Remember, when you deal with inflation, they don't include the cost of houses. They include the cost of rentals after they adjusted a bunch. But as far as buying a home, that's not in the inflation numbers, not the numbers they use to adjust Social Security and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So they look at that as capital. You made it. Yeah, I'm sorry, you can't buy a house and went from $80,000 to $800,000. You just don't have the capital to do that. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. So they're shafting the American public, but we shouldn't have been in this position in the first place, though. We shouldn't have a little. Who is it? Margaret Thatcher. A little bit of socialism is like a little bit of cancer or something. Who said that?
I don't know who said it, but it totally makes sense.
Yeah. It's just like, you can't, I know some people are like, we need to have that little bit of safety net. We need to, it's always going to be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see a country get back to where the nonprofits, the churches,
Here's
individuals
the thing,
help people out.
As this country becomes less faith-based, less trust in God, you have to trust in something. So if it's not in God, it's going to be in the government.
Yeah.
And when you're afraid, you're like, I need the government to
do something. Do something.
That is,
that's what worries the heck out of me coming up, Mark, is whatever day after the 22nd anniversary of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look back to World War II. You go back through all the kind of trigger points in history that triggered a massive change. I'm nervous as heck about what the next one, what people will be screaming for. Yep. Remember 9/11 is a Patriot. Yeah, we got to do the Patriot Act.
Patriot
Act, and what a disaster that's been.
Here's the really sad thing, and people might hate me for saying this, but I'm going to say that the terrorists of 9/11 succeeded at a level they did not even expect. They brought this country into massive inflation, into wars we couldn't afford, wars we lost, Afghanistan, Iraq. We essentially lost those wars. We spent so many billions of dollars.
In 10 trillion, I think, I was watching that documentary last. I think it was $10 trillion was spent on those.
And who's in power wars. In Afghanistan?
The same Taliban. The same people that we were told
what's going
we
on
go
in
get
Iraq.
Out. You know, Iraq. You know, we still got 2,500 troops in Iraq.
We've wrecked our economy, and look at the freedoms we've lost in America.
Exactly.
Do you remember going to airports and your whole family could go to the gate and see you off?
Or come, or when you're coming, they're holding up the sign or something stupid. Yeah, welcome to. Yeah, no, that's all gone.
It's all gone.
No, I don't think you would. Anybody who is a rational thinking human being would say September 11th, 2001 changed this country forever. And what they were able to do by and our reaction to it, and it was hell. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. But to the 30, what I come up with yesterday, a third of the population wasn't even born at that point in this country. And half the country may not even remember because they were much younger.
Right.
So a large percentage of this population, they don't know what existed before. It's just all kind of a fantasy. They see people going to the, running up to the airport gate.
There
like, what
people,
is that, a fantasy? You know, that's, no, that actually happened.
There are people that graduated college last year that were born after 9/11. They didn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't know pre-9/11 America.
No, exactly. And it was much different. So I hope we get that back, but it's hard to get those things back.
It is.
Yeah. It's really hard. And that's what I worry about. What is that next thing? Mm-hmm. What is that next trigger point? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those comments in. See if I can share a couple comments here in a few minutes. I got Glenn Least on, I think tomorrow, maybe Friday. I know this week we're going to talk what's going on in the market. You got to educate yourself. I diversify. Don't listen to me. I give no financial advice. But
that is the best advice. Diversify.
Yeah. Unless you're like Warren Buffett or somebody who's like, diversifying is for people that don't know what they're doing. You know, he's like, he buys 10 things and he dumps it in, but he knows what he's doing. I look at stocks. I talk with Glenn. I do some things with Glenn Least. I've told you about gold and silver. We've been talking about real estate.
Yep.
I mean, I think it's really important to talk to as many people as possible. Why don't you give Glenn Least a call, get a free complimentary consultation, see if he's a good fit. You've heard him many times here on the show. Shares a lot of the same values as me and you, I think. I don't know all your values out there, but if you're listening to me for this long, right? Give Glenn Least a call at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. And don't forget, it's Tuesday. It is Tuesday, right?
Taco Tuesday
at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Great food there. They still try to make sure that they have an affordable menu. They got that $4 menu with a whole bunch of stuff on it.
$4?
Yeah, it's going to be 40 soon. Four.
Four is, that's unridiculously cheap.
It'll be like 10 years from now. It'll be like, oh, you get the value $40 menu, right? No, they've got the great $4 menu. They got great drink specials. Sportsman's Bar and Grill. It's just north of downtown Flagstaff right there in that Bash's Shopping Center. Head on over there. Watch some great games. There's a pool table. Music playing. Some good music.
Little patio
outside. Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Go check it out. Get a great meal. Hang tight. Back in just a minute. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show. This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Someone was giving you the finger?
Oh, yeah.
Was this the guy you were following around who was giving out money?
No. So,
should you be driving?
We've all experienced this thing. You're coming up I-17 from, Phoenix, Camp Verde, Sedona, wherever. And you've always got this person that is in the fast lane daydreaming. And speed limit is 75, and they're doing 60, 55. And, you flash your your brights at them, because you shouldn't pass on the right. That's, I see people do this all the time. They pass on the right.
I know, but that's sometimes an act of frustration. It's like you're like 10 minutes into it, and you're like, okay, I got to go around this guy on the right.
Yeah. So I flashed my lights at him, and he's just, you know, spacing out and daydreaming. He didn't even have a license plate on his car. He's bought it's a used or new car with the temporary plate, and he's looking at his phone. You can see his phone. I can look through his rear window and see him holding up his phone, messing with his phone. I'm like, flash the lights. Come on, buddy, wake up. The tractor trailer in the right lane is passing you. You're going that slow.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I'm not going to, I really try not to pass on the right. It's a bad habit. Sometimes you do out of frustration. Definitely don't do that to a tractor trailer, because that's more of a death wish than a frustration.
Yeah, they can't see that. No. Yeah. Usually the tractor trailers, to their credit, they're usually not driving that lane nonstop. Sometimes they annoy you and they pop out there to pass.
Another tractor,
someone's going 47 and they're doing 49.
Right.
You know, something like that. That's really frustrating. So, okay, you're flashing the lights and this and that.
So he finally wakes up, gets over.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he shoots me the bird as I drive by. I'm like, really? Just wake up and pay attention. Put your cell phone down and start driving.
Did he move over?
Yeah, he finally got over.
Yeah, that's good.
He might have got over just so he could shoot.
I used to be a more aggressive driver, and I would, and maybe this was, and you were born in New York, right?
Yeah, New York.
I'm flipping off as a rite of passage there. I mean, if you don't do that, you may be in trouble.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's the law.
It's the law. It's like saying hi.
It's like saying hi. Out here, though, and anywhere in the West, though, that could be bad. And I used to do it more, but it's just so much tension.
Yep.
What I do now is I just wave.
Just hi.
I wave and they know it's like a condescending kind of wave, but I'm like, hi, you know, thank you. Something like that. And I feel that's a little better for my mental health going forward.
Just FYI, under Arizona law, and this, you can look this up, Arizona revised statutes.
Yeah.
You are supposed to flash your lights, and you are also, if needed, supposed to honk.
You need to get me that law. I need to see that statute.
You can flash your lights. You can honk to get people to move
over. That sounds like road rage, though.
It sounds like road rage, but it's
That's the thing.
It's what you're supposed to do in Arizona. Huh. It's actually our law.
Interesting. All right. Well, if you're driving somewhere, you might be like going on a trip, and you've even going to the airport, and you've got to book these tickets. We're booking a bunch of tickets for next year. We've got some trips planned.
Yep.
Overseas. This is the first time I've gone overseas in a while.
Yeah.
So Angela's been working hard on a couple of different trips.
With any luck, Biden will bring back a mask mandate. You'll have to.
Oh, I am like. Angela's doing a trip in January because Isabel's going to spend a couple months overseas, right? Which is great. I'm glad she has that opportunity. I got like 2 days off when I was her age or something like that, right? So it's good. She's working hard for it, though. She's having to work a lot extra because she's going to have 4 months of not having a job and stuff, right? So anyway, so Angela's going to go out over there January, something like that. She's booking a ticket, and I'm like, they're going to force masks back on planes. But you know what? The optimistic thing is I haven't heard much scuttlebutt about this for the past week, because we were all raising a stink a week ago, 10 days ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of quieted down. I think they recognize, you know, the powers that be that want to control everything. Maybe I, knock on wood, maybe I'm being overly optimistic. Maybe I'm missing something. I think they caught so much flack in the American psyche. They overall just burst at them and said, don't do it. We hate you. Don't do the mask mandate. I think it's simmering down. What, your thoughts? Are you feeling that?
I think they're way too close to an election to mask up, close businesses, close schools. See, all Americans were really pissed, and the Republicans were primed to win off this mask mandate, school closures, the business closures. But then it was just a little too far from the election.
Yes.
And Americans forget. We're like goldfish.
It's like
30. As long as we're like, oh, we're back at work and we're making some money and, you know.
Goldfish.
Whatever.
We're like the humpback chub.
That
is one ugly fish, man.
Oof. We just forget.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I'm thinking like, oh, no, they're going to bring this thing back. So anyway, we're booking these tickets. It used to be you didn't have to book them. I have tickets for New England next summer already.
Okay.
We already booked those because we got to get those five states there.
Yep.
I think it's five. Because the kids need to get to 49. I've already been to them. So we booked that, and then, of course, Alaska is going to be the following year, our 50th state.
Yep.
We'll probably have another state, but then we'll get done, and it'll be like, we need to add Puerto Rico. Like, oh, man, you kidding me? Nope. I'm going by where we're at right now. So anyway, we're booking them way in advance, but what I am noticing, and as I've traveled a lot, this tendency to have to pre-book everything, like it's spontaneity is like dead in this country.
It is.
Are you going up to Utah?
Up to Moab. Okay. And I've been there before. We've been to Arches National Park. And yeah. Arches has now introduced a pre-reservation to get into the park. And so they sell them 3 months in advance. Yep. Of course, everybody sits at their computers like, click, get it.
$10? And how much? So much?
The reservation, it's free, actually.
Oh, that's even worse because I know people say, you already pay for your national park, but it's worse because everyone's just going to gobble them up.
And then they don't use
them.
They get them just in case, right? And so then they're all sold for the...
Of course.
The day we want to go, the 14th of this month here. This week, this...
This weekend.
Yeah, this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, because you did it like spontaneity.
Spontaneity, right? So then they have another, they're going to re-release the day before for some extra ones.
At midnight.
I know what's going to happen again, right?
Yeah, there's people sitting there refreshing. Oh, I got to get these tickets free. We did this in 2 years ago, Glacier National Park.
Yeah.
Couldn't get the thing. They required, I think they were free. And we actually found a back way through. The locals told us, this is something you can try. Find another way through. There was actually a Forest Service road where we got through the back way. And then we paid when we got to the kiosk or whatever.
Yep.
I don't know. Kind of a loophole, but they probably closed that up.
I don't know if there's a back way. I don't think there is an
Arches. Not Arches, no. Yeah, you'd be going overlay. In. That's out of nowhere there.
I should bring my Wrangler up there. But, do you remember back in the – well, so I'm child of the 80s. It's when we went to concerts in high school and all that. And they would – if you wanted to go to a concert
– I saw Huey Lewis in the news.
Which was like $10 back then. It seemed outrageous. But – they would have Ticketron, where you'd go get all your tickets, and
you have to show up.
You have to show up to get them. But what they would do is scalpers would pay homeless guys to wait in line all night for them.
Yeah, okay.
And say like, all right, you buy me these tickets, and I'll give you a 12-pack of beer or whatever. And so the homeless guy would be, he's like, I'm camped out anyway. I might as well camp out.
Yeah, Ticketron. This is good. Yeah.
And
there's nothing wrong with that.
They get all
it's
the tickets.
Job security.
And then they'd scalp them for $15.
Yeah, you make it's a good profit right there. It's a good profit. It's a good return.
It's,
I wish we go back to like where you had to just wait for things. Like you go out to the video store.
Yeah.
I think we're missing something culturally that's just gone. And I know it's just gone. Instant gratification. Yeah. I hate the fact though that you have to, and we had this in San Francisco a few years ago. It's probably the last time I go to San Francisco because that place is absolutely insane. Cool city to see though. But we got there and we're like, okay, cool. Let's go get some tickets for Alcatraz. They practically laughed us out of there. They were like, yeah, those are sold like 9 months ago. Fossil Creek has gone to that. I get why they're doing it.
Yes.
Because these places have become so popular, there's traffic jams. I'm trying to think of Arches. I didn't think that maybe we don't need to be so extreme and so, what's the word I'm looking for? Carpet bombish, where we do this global policy for everything. Arches is probably quite busy.
It is.
But when is it busy? When do you have to, is it all the time or is it just on the weekends they're doing it?
Right. So they're doing the ticket process all the time. Certain weekends are going to be really busy. It's like anywhere.
Good luck going on Labor Day. But this weekend, I don't know how busy it's going to be during the week. I mean, it's
probably not. And that's what I'm getting to is, I'm self-employed. To some degree, I can take days off in the week.
Sure.
And make up for it working Sunday or something.
You got kids in school though.
But that is the problem. School is still...
Dang kids.
We almost need to rotate school days, right? Some kids go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and other kids go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Spread Americans out. Yeah,
good luck with that.
I don't know if it's true, but somebody told me in Mexico City, you get to drive or fill up your car based on your license plate number, and you don't get to drive every day.
Oh, in Mexico. Well, Mexico City is, what, 20 million people?
Yeah,
and so it's one of the most popular. Yeah, it's kind of like... It's such a mess, traffic-wise, pollution-wise, so who knows? I mean, London, they're taking pictures of people's plates, so
I
we might be like that soon. We might get back to gas rationing or something like that, because the way that they're shutting down gas and oil leases and all that, I mean, that may all be coming, so who knows? Yeah, but I just don't – I don't like having to plan everything out by the second.
Right,
exactly. You're the same way. No, I don't know where I'm going to be.
Live by the seat of my pants.
Yeah, exactly. All right, your thoughts, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Thanks to Gettles High Desert Mechanical for last month's giveaway. That was really cool. Can't remember who we gave that to. I think it was Newt. Newt was the winner. And
Gingrich?
He got...
Different Newt.
Different Newt, I think. I got $50 courtesy of Gettles High Desert Mechanical.
Gettles turned him into a Newt?
Yeah. get your heater, your H... Now's a good time to do the... inspections. You know, we got winter coming
winter
up.
Winter is coming.
Winter's coming. I like doing an annual inspection, carbon monoxide test, things like that.
Yep.
Ghetto's High Desert Mechanical can get you a new efficient heater, half the size, probably a quarter the size of the heater we've got here. Give them a call, 928-567-2200. That's Ghetto's High Desert Mechanical at 928-567-2200. Also, thanks to the Blind Brothers. Great blinds. Great shutters, great shades. Angela and I are so happy with the blinds that they gave us and got it installed. You know, they came in, took out all the old ones.
Yep.
Got the new ones in. Good, energy efficient. Call the Blind Brothers. Mention the Jeff Orford Show. Get half off installation, 928-634-2423. That's the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com. Final thoughts when we come back. Hang tight. Listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
We didn't get to a lot, so Mark's like, let's just see what happens. Well, I'll just go to the news picks then.
Well,
Arizona news picks. Oh, you got
one. I've
got
to talk a little bit about, for those of you who watch the podcast and the video stream,
yeah,
I've got this new blue box in front of me, mic switch, and it's actually made in the USA. I like that.
Yeah, this is a, yeah.
But it's, if I really get mad and something foul is about to come out of my mouth, I can cut my own mic off, just like
that.
This
might be a bad thing.
I like this.
Well, that's courtesy of Rob Wilson. He came, he's like, I got you a cough button. I was like, okay. Because I have my own buttons over here. I'm just
thought it was a curse button. It's a cough button.
Yeah, it's a bleep button. Yeah, we almost needed that a couple times today.
So I, as you know, I like to look at alternative news outlets. And one of my favorites is Al Jazeera.
Okay.
Because, you know they're going to be biased, super biased. So you can see past it.
Most of these media outlets are biased to whatever
it's the ones they're peddling. That are kind of okay, that are a little bit biased, that are the scary ones. Because they'll get you off guard and they'll trick you. Al Jazeera is not going to trick me. I know they're biased. But anyway, they ran an article about Putin, who came out and called the Trump indictments basically election fraud. You know, he's saying this is election corruption and proves how corrupt the American political system is. When they're indicting Trump.
And we're getting scorned by Putin.
You're getting scorned by
Putin.
I mean, this is the, woo, you know, the pot calling the kettle black, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, because Putin, he just, you know, either kills his political enemies or...
And now he's got Victor Bout is now in politics.
Yeah.
Putin put him in the Merchant of Death.
Merchant of Death, yeah.
You can't make this stuff up. Of course, he provided arms for all sides, including America and many conflicts.
So he's in Russian politics now, and he got elected, I think. Is that correct?
He's in the process of. I mean, when Putin wants someone in, they get in.
He's going to be in.
Else the person, or else the other, you know, somebody winds up outside a building,
right?
You know, flying. There's a lot of. There's been so many balcony incidents in Russia. It's like insane.
What, they just fell out? Another person just fell off their balcony.
At least we're not that bad yet. I mean, there's hope, right? Marcus, real quick, did you hear about this guy going rim to rim? Another guy died Virginia in his 50s. He died. That's something I could picture you doing.
No, that's my wife, rim to rim. She's already done it a few times.
Does she jog it?
She walks really fast. She's got some friends that are actually planning to do it pretty soon, actually.
It's the time of year thing, too.
Rim to rim to rim, actually. So you south rim to north rim, back to the south rim.
I don't get it.
I think they're going to do an overnight.
I don't get
to
it.
Break it up, but...
Rachel, if you're listening, I don't get it.
You know, it's...
Yeah. Just the challenge?
Just a challenge. The hyperactive wife just...
Yeah, just get out. Rim to rim to rim.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen the people when I'm hiking down and they're like jogging up. They're like, they already went down and they're back up.
Yep.
And I'm like... almost ready to keel over myself, and I'm just like, if I don't want to see us start shutting everything down because of things like this, because I think people, they'll probably start requiring a permit just to do something like that at some point.
Yeah, so there's a lot of search and rescue that goes on in the Grand Canyon for obvious reasons. But they also have preventative search and rescue. And what they do is say, hey, all right, hike down the trail 500 yards and then come back up.
Yeah.
See how it feels. And if that feels okay, then go down.
And go down a little more. Yeah, I always enjoy seeing the people that are like, first of all, they're probably from sea level.
Right.
And you're starting off at 7,000 feet.
Right.
And you're wearing flip-flops and they've got their little, 2 ounces of water. And it's right. You tell them, hey, you hike down a while and then come back up.
It's easy to go down.
Up you're going to be huffing and puffing real quick, and having some trouble. No, but I don't want to see, like, they stopped that guy with the hamster wheel from, he was trying to run to London from Florida. He created this big hamster wheel looking canister. And we were talking about that last week.
Hey, just go. If he wants to do it, it's
the Coast Guard
life.
Stopped him like 3 times, and he's like, this time he got all upset and he said he had a bomb and this and that. So he's probably in some trouble at this point.
Can't say that.
Yeah, don't say bomb.
Don't say that.
And I'm just like, just let him go. I mean, just say, we're not coming to rescue you.
It's your life.
Once you get like 30 miles out, you're on your own. If a storm comes, because the guy's probably going to kill himself out there. Just
probably.
But maybe not. I mean, humans are adventurers, and it's like nowadays the government's there to protect you from everything. It's like they would have told Columbus that sounds really dangerous.
Yeah.
We don't want you to do that.
So if people have swum the Straits of Gibraltar, the English Channel,
and
a group even tried to swim the Atlantic Ocean, they didn't get all the way.
Yeah. But let them do it.
Just.
So if you want to go rim to rim, you better know the risk though.
Right.
That is strange. That's crazy.
Self-rescue, self-reliance.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, always appreciate it.
Yeah.
Have fun in Utah, not seeing arches. Let us know how that turns out. Back tomorrow, folks. I hope you all have a great, safe night. Take care. See you soon.